Nick Bollinger with Penknife Glides, and I have their vocalist, Steve Gravel, Cliff's brother, on the line from Bangkok now. Hello.
Hi, Kirsten.
Now, you obviously followed your parents' advice, as it says in the notes to this album, to grow up and stop wasting your life in a rubbish punk band.
That's absolutely right. To make it even better, we're both the son of a preacher man, so we really fulfilled his ambitions.
So what did you both end up doing?
Well, the band, good old Penknife Glides, lasted from 80 to 1996, I think, in the UK, when we finally decided that it had really run its musical course. But my brother Cliff went on, of course, to do other things after that and formed a band with Kerry Chimes, who used to be in The Clash, and Nasty Suicide. Good old names that we have bands that we used to know and love when we were worshipping everything that came out of Britain in 1977.
So what level of success did you reach in the UK when you went over there in 82 or 83?
Well, that's a great question, Kirsten, because a lot of people in New Zealand don't really know what happened to us after we went to the UK. We gigged around for quite a while, a couple of years, and we played in a lot of places that we really dreamt about as young musicians in New Zealand. We played at the Fulham Greyhound. We played at the good old Marquee Club, which is now gone, of course. You know, that club with the lovely big white letters along the back where, you know, The Who and Led Zeppelin and all those famous bands played. Well, we played there. And things were getting quite interesting in the early 80s because a lot of bands were, well, the whole live music scene was starting to fade out a bit. House music was coming onto the scene. But we did get to the attention of Polydor, as it was in the UK, and EMI. And we actually got right down to a sort of sudden death gig with another band, EMI. We're going to sign only one band in that year, and that was 1984, I think. And we lost out. The other band was Simply Red.
Uh-huh.
We came pretty close, we like to think. But we did some good stuff. We did some recording with Tony Visconti, famous producer, of course, who's done all sorts of things, as you and your listeners will know, everybody from David Bowie to Mark Bolan, and that was an honour to be working in his studios. And we were doing some really interesting things in those days. I'll tell you what, I went down into the vaults one day when I was there and found all the early 24-track mixes of Led Zeppelin 1 and T-Rex and what have you, and it was just when sampling was coming in and no one was really using it to its advantages. People like Depeche Mode were just starting to do things with it, and so we got some of those old things out of the vault long before anyone worried about copyright, and we just we recorded some great demos. We did a great song called Power and Liars, which we played on the London club scene. And all the drum track was John Bonham's drum track right the way through the whole thing.
That's incredible. Was that story about you saying no to Gordon Sumner covering one of your songs true?
Well, unfortunately, it was. And it was one of those marvellous things that when we were on the Dole in London, thinking that wasn't the wisest thing we ever did. But, you know, we were young and keen and we were on the up, and we thought the world was our oyster, and we thought, no, this is a great song. And I think it made the charts in New Zealand when we launched it as a single, and it was always a real hit when we played live. And we thought, wow, this is going to take us, we're going to take the world by storm with this song. But
where did that confidence come from?
Well, I think it was something that a lot of New Zealand bands had at the time. I got on very well with the guys from Teardrop Explode. They did a tour in New Zealand. And one of the things that a lot of New Zealand bands on that Auckland circuit were able to do was that when these bands came, we could often sort of put on parties for them and get to meet them personally. And we put on a party, I remember, for Echo and the Bunnymen. And then I got to meet the guys from Teardrop Explode and had a great afternoon with them. And we were going to do some gigs in the UK with them, and that's what made me think, right, we're going to go off to the UK and make it big. And I came back and told one of my friends, and he said to me, why are you doing that? He said, wouldn't you rather be a big fish in a small pond? And we just didn't think like that. And I remember saying quite arrogantly, no, we want to be big fish in a big pond. And that's the sort of thing you do when you're young. Older and wiser now, though.
Tell me why you decided to revisit these songs.
Well, that's a very simple answer to that. Everything had been put into the bottom drawer for posterity, and we'd really forgotten all about it. And then Bill McRae, who played the guitar and keyboards with Penknife Glides in the last year before we left for the UK, rang me up and said, Dance Macabre, our old stablemates from Trevor Eakey's Reaction Records, were doing this reunion gig at the King's Arms, Come Along. I hadn't really realised what a great cathartic effect it had on me, but I just thoroughly enjoyed myself. Not only did the years sort of fall away, but, you know, I got to meet some people and some faces that I hadn't seen for 25 years. And the songs all, not only were they quite an important part of my life, but they were for a lot of other people as well. And because we toured with Dance Macabre, we did a marvellous tour back in 81, 82 called the Positive Reaction Tour. And I thought, well, you know, let's do a double bill again just for old time's sake. And so what happened after that was I just built a music studio in my office, actually, downstairs in the basement of my office, and started to record these just so that we could give the other guys in the band their parts to play for our live gig, because Stefan was living in London and Jules was living in Melbourne, Cliff was living in Sydney, I was living in Auckland. And what Cliff and I discovered was that these tracks sounded half decent. And it became difficult trying to get the gig together, so the whole live performance thing was put on the back burner, and the album kind of took over. It's really become quite cathartic for us in our later years to not only just revisit old stuff, but to sort of breathe new life into them, and really just listening to what's around in our arrogant way, we thought these actually stack up pretty well these days. You know, they sound quite contemporary.
Apparently, in the 80s, you were renowned for your athletic antics. Can you explain?
Well, I think I used to be quite annoyed by just seeing these front men who would sort of dangle off the mic stand and sort of use it as a prop. And it was all very cool, I suppose. But I thought, no, people have come to see a show. And we kind of had that showbiz ethic. And we used to put a lot into our stage show. We got huge sheets of muslin and put them all over the back of the stage. And we had these light shows that used to go on. And in fact, we put one of our old videos, a song called Sound of Drums, we put that up on YouTube. And you can see these sort of images that we used to project. And I used to like to sort of leap about a bit.
I believe that you dressed for the occasion as well.
Yeah, we did, and that was all part of it. I mean, we did a tour with Split Enz, and of course they were the masters of the stage theatrics, and we didn't go anywhere near that. But I think what we did, looking back, is that we didn't just sort of put on stage gear. We actually just sort of lived and breathed the whole thing. I remember we turned up for a radio interview at Tauranga once, and we were waiting in the foyer there with all our nice little suits on. And I even used to wear cufflinks, can you believe it? Winkle pickers in a nice shiny suit, and waiting to be interviewed, and then suddenly we were told the interview's off. And I've met up with the DJ at a pub afterwards, at our gig, and said, you know, what happened to that? And he says, I'm sorry, but the management saw you all in suits and thought that you therefore must be gay, and it was not the policy of the radio station to promote homosexuality. Fantastic. would that happen today?
I would hope not.
I would hope not.
Are you still a snappy dresser?
I like to think so. I mean, Stefan went off to London and started up his own fashion label.
Huh?
And for many years, Stefan Morris suits were available in London. And I think they ended up in a couple of pop videos for other bands. And he was a very stylish guy, our Stefan, and still is. But we like to think we had a certain sartorial elegance. Of course, it was largely lost when you were playing at the Quinn's Post just outside Wellington on the Monday night. We were all there dressed in our finery after, you know, months of rehearsal. I think two people turned up. We never had any problems in Auckland, but once we got out of Auckland, then I think our audience kind of sort of vanished into the woodwork.
Yeah. Do you have any regrets with Penknife Glides?
Well, I think even looking back with the benefit of hindsight, even that thing with the police isn't really a regret. It's just one of those, what would have happened had we all suddenly earned millions of dollars on royalties? But it's nice to think about it. But no, I don't think we've got any regrets at all. I think what we did learn was that the music business, I don't know whether it's as true now as it was then, but it really largely is all about luck and being in the right place at the right time. We probably should have gone to Britain 2 years earlier. In fact, we probably should have just rehearsed in the basement of Nikau Street and then caught the first plane over. But regrets? Not really. We had a great time. I mean, I got to meet some really interesting people. We might not have made it, but we've actually left New Zealand. We've ventured out. We're trying our luck, and here we are. And it's, you know, all part of life's rich tapestry.
Steve from Penknife Glides, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.